Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, December 2nd, 2024. Jumping right into a message by Pastor Jason Epperson of the CU Church, as we'll be looking at Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 32, focusing on where our true identity should come from and the importance of remembering God's promises for us and understanding what we celebrate and what we remember affects our identity. Listening friend, you are a child of God and you have purpose. So before Pastor Jason Epperson shares out of Exodus chapter 12, he begins with a lighthearted story. Here's Pastor Jason Epperson of CU Church.
Today we're talking about identity. I got to say this because if I don't, I'll be thinking about it the whole time. And you're going to think, this has nothing to do with the sermon. Why is he saying it? It's because my brain is that way. This morning I got up really early, like 4-something, and was working on sermon stuff. And it was dark in my house. And my daughter has sprained her ankle. And so she's in the living room sleeping on the couch. So I couldn't turn lights on to work on my sermon. So I literally was like, had my flashlight on my phone as I'm working on my sermon. And then I'm like, okay, time to go shower. It's still dark. I didn't want to turn a light on in there because my son was sleeping in the, like, last night didn't go well. You with me? We got kids in beds. It was that night. And so as I'm getting ready, there's no exciting thing except for this next moment. I can't find my deodorant. I'm like, where's my deodorant? And I can't find it. It's dark. And so I was like, oh, there it is. And I put it on. And as soon as I put it on, I recognize this is a fruity, girly smelling deodorant. And so I am standing before you right now thinking, where's my wife? There she is. I'm telling you. So it's messing with my brain. And I'm just letting you in. So now I won't think about it the rest of the sermon. So if you give me a hug, you're like, oh, he smells kind of fruity today. It's true. It's true. It's true. Anyway. I haven't prayed yet, right? I should have done that before I prayed. Now I'm going to pray. Let's do it. God, I need you. I love you. Thank you for being a God who laughs with us. Thank you for being a God who knows us. Thank you for using people in this world like me that do things we shouldn't do and do things on accident and are just people. And God, I pray that all of us in this room today can rediscover who you've created us to be and what our purpose is on this earth. We love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So in this journey through the book of Exodus, it's the moment when a family, the family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph then brings them into this place called Egypt, and he saves them as well as saves Egypt. We've talked about this, but the nation of Egypt then forgot about Joseph and forgot about the God of Joseph. So the next thing you know, for 400 years, these Israelites, these Jewish people, ended up being slaves. And the slaves, and they were there, and Moses tried to save them at one point by killing someone. Didn't go so well. Later on, Moses goes off into the wilderness. He humbles himself. God can use humble people. You should remember that point. And when he does, he goes back. And last week, we talked about all the plagues. We talked about the first plagues in this journey. And this week, we're talking about the last one of these plagues. But I need to point this one thing out as we get into these plagues is this is a group of people. This is a nation of people that have forgotten who their God is. They have forgotten who created them. They have forgotten who they are. They have forgotten their purpose on this earth, and they have forgotten the promises God has given them. And I'm telling you, last night and all week long, as I'm thinking about this message, I thought to myself, how many of us have that same dilemma? We have forgotten who created us and who has power in this world. We have forgotten who we are and what our true identity is. We have forgotten why we wake up every day and why we go to bed at night. And we have forgotten the promises God has for us. So these people here aren't that much different in some ways than us. We've talked about almost every single week the idea of the spirit of a slaver. To us, it's like, how could someone ever be a slaver? How could ever someone have slaves? Remember the answer? Well, it starts with you just objectifying somebody. And all of us in this room have objectified somebody. We've looked at them for what they give to us or what we can get from them versus what we can give them. In our lives, all of us have spent years of our life working with people and objectifying people to try to accomplish what we want to do. We've seen churches do it. We've seen states, nations, cities do it. We've seen family units do it. We've seen husbands and wives do it. We've seen boyfriends and girls. We've done it ourselves. But the spirit of a slaver is someone who objectifies someone else. We've talked about it. And the spirit of a slave, let's not forget, is someone who's been objectified to the point that their identity comes from what they do. And all of us in this room can do what? We can identify with that as well. And so as we get into this point of the passage, I think it's pretty interesting that it's the moment where they're just about to find freedom. It's the final breaking point of the slave or Pharaoh. It's this moment where everything changes and God finally flexes on them enough for them to recognize he is Creator God. He does it in this moment because of this reason, because they are my firstborn children. You're a child of God. So he establishes the fact that he is Creator and he is Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. He establishes in this moment that your identity is found in being a child of God. Then he establishes your purposes to show the world who he is. And he promises them what? That their future will be blessed. This week, I was in a Bible study with a group of men. And we were talking about how life sometimes is hard. You with me? Even for you and your life or me and my life, if there is a game that you're watching on television and it stresses you out or something that stresses you, it could be your kid's game, it could be a U of I game, it could be whoever your team is, it could be a game. And if you're watching that game, the level of intensity that when they do something wrong, you get upset, or when they do something well, you're excited, is completely dependent on that moment, how much you care about it. But here's the crazy thing. You know the best game to watch is one you know you've already won. I have so many friends that on a game day, they'll just record the game, they'll go out and mow their grass, and they'll come in and say, did we win? Yes, okay, I'll watch it. You know the level of intensity I have? Like, I never really get angry when I know we win. It's like, oh, we threw an interception. Better, like, oh, you get them next time. You missed a tackle. That's okay, we all miss tackles. Oh, you missed your free throw. Hey, guess what? I've missed a free throw too. We win. It's okay. We win. We've won. The battle's already won. We're fighting a battle. He's already won. And this group of Jewish slaves were fighting a battle. He had already won. He told them in Exodus chapter 3 and 4, you're not going to get released until the firstborn child of this nation dies, because they won't let my firstborn child go. He told them. And yet they were miserable through all the plagues and questioned and doubted him. Family, it's so easy for us to look back and think, how could you guys have doubted him? Unless we look in the mirror. Because the reality is, we've already won. The passage starts this way. And it says these words, the Lord said to Moses, this is in Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 1, we're going all the way to verse 32 today. That's a lot of reading, but you'll be great. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. He basically saying, I'm changing your calendar in the first month, like you're celebrating New Year's Eve every single year in this moment. Why? Because it's about to begin. It is new. It is the fireworks going off. We become a nation. It is your freedom is found. You're no longer slaves. And why does he do that? Because he wants to make sure they know that what you celebrate and what you remember affects your identity. I'm going to say that again. What we celebrate in this world and what we remember in this world affects or becomes our identity in this world. One of my favorite things is when someone publicly declares their identity in Jesus and they're baptized in this church. Because people are stand up, and what do? We cheer. We're excited. My son, his favorite part is when someone gets baptized, because it gives him the excuse to yell as loud as he can in church. But that's how I feel too. It's like, why do we think that like a student finds their identity in being a student is because the only time they put a bumper sticker on their car and says, my kid's an honor roll student. Great, mine's not. Boom. No, I'm just messing. Or why do kids find their identity in scoring touchdowns? Because 60,000 people clap for them for a touchdown. They don't clap for them when they pass a class. Or for you, like, we are way more simple people than you think. When you do this well, your boss pats you on the back. When you don't do this well, he smacks you on the nose. Guess what? You're going to do the things that pats you on the back because your nose is going to get hurt. Hey, family, what do you celebrate? What do you remember? Because the things that you celebrate and the things you remember affects your identity. It helps remind you of the promises. It reminds you of who created you. It reminds you that you're a child of God. It reminds you of your purpose on this earth is to show the world how good he is. And it reminds you there is promises in heaven. And guess what? We're going to be okay. One of my closest friends right now is walking through chemo treatments. And he's getting ready to take chemo again. He's done it two different times. The cancer's back. He's going to have surgery. He's going to have chemo treatments. And this is a dude I see almost every day of the week. Like, he's my guy. Like, I love them. And this time he said to me, I know I'm going to be okay this time because the first time I went through it, I thought I was going to die. And now I know I can get through it. Like, the mentality he even is going into it, knowing he can get through this, allows him to attack it better. You with me? Family, the battle's already won. Let's attack this world as winners. It goes on and says this. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. This is interesting. I'm not going to talk about it a lot, but it's really interesting that the beginning of the purposes of God with the group of people in this family, it was a household-based thing. See, lots of times today, church is something that different people do in different households, but the purpose of your household, the purpose of your family is to declare the glory of God. That's the purpose of your family. See, it starts with a person, starts then to a family. Then, and here you're going to see, if you don't have enough people in your family, it becomes a neighborhood. That neighborhood becomes the congregation, or it becomes the nation, or in the New Testament, it becomes the ecclesia, it becomes the church. But so many times in your life, in my life, we concern ourselves with the problems of the world that you can't fix. But we ignore the problems of our own house, which actually they're your problems. But God right here, as he is instilling this, is like, here's the deal. Just because you are from this country doesn't mean that you are in his household. You might have the blessings of other people around you, but just because you're born into something doesn't mean you're blessed by something. And that's what he's saying. It goes on and says this, if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to which each can eat, and shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a pure lamb, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day. So the day 10, the lamb comes into the house. On day 14 is the moment you're about to kill the lamb. This month, while the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Why would God want them to have the lamb in their house, a year-old lamb, in their world, feeding it, being with it, separated from all the other lambs for 4 days? Because he wants to make sure that you realize there's a sacrifice. See, the sacrifice is not only you're getting the best of livestock. The sacrifice is it's the best of livestock you're attached to. We find our identity also in the things we sacrifice for. How do you know someone does CrossFit? They'll tell you. They will. Oh, man, the wad today. They're going to tell you. Why? Because they sacrifice. Hey, family, when is the lamb sacrificed? At twilight. In 1 John chapter 2, John describes Jesus in a way as he came in the darkest moment. Not only at the Passover when God set them free was it a dark moment, but Jesus came in also what? A dark moment. And guess when Jesus is coming back, y'all? In a dark moment. Like for you and I to think that it's just going to get brighter and brighter and brighter, that's not how the story goes. It gets darker and darker and darker and darker. And he is the what? He is the light of the world. He's the light of the world. I'm not the light of the world. He's the light of the world. This country's not the light of the world. He's the light of the world. It also goes on and says this, then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. So they would put the blood over the doorpost. Why would they do that? For two reasons. One is because when this death angel came by, it would see, it would mark the household. This is a household that is trusting in God. This is a household that's now identity is not in its street address. Its identity is not in the false gods of Egypt. Its identity is found in the blood of a sacrifice. Sound familiar? And when this death angel passes by, if you're inside this house, you're good to go. But in this passage, in Jewish history, blood is life. Blood is not death. Blood is life. And this blood, it gives them life. Then it goes on and says this. They shall eat the flesh that night roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, and they shall eat it. Why is it unleavened bread? Because leavened bread, some of you are bakers, you know more about this than me, but basically it's bacteria or a yeast or something that's already been taken from somewhere else. Well, why would God want them to take the yeast of another nation into something new? See, he's about to deliver the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And the rest of their history, he's trying to take Egypt out of them. See, when you give your life to Christ, he takes you out of the curse of death. He conquers it. The rest of your life and my life, he tries to get me out of the way. He helps me. The Holy Spirit takes me out, like takes the Egypt out of Jason. takes the false idols out of Jason. My state is changed. I'm a new creation. My identity is in the blood of Jesus. Like, I'm good. But I'll experience more of him on this earth the more I get out of the way. And bitter herbs that they can eat. Why bitter herbs? Well, bitter herbs to remind them of their slavery. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled or water, but roasted. Its head with its legs and its inner parts, and you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is an interesting thing, is why do they have to eat all of it? They have to eat all of it because they have to eat all of it because that's the sacrifice that they made. If they don't eat it all, they burn it up. But you can't save it for tomorrow. You got to trust in the Lord for tomorrow. Do you guys know that in this world, lots of people like parts of Jesus? I want to talk about that for a second. Man, lots of people like parts of Jesus. They don't like the whole of Jesus. Man, all the Jesus happy thoughts, I love the Jesus happy thoughts. But I'm not sure about that Sermon on the Mount thing. I'm not sure when he says, lust is adultery and anger is murder. I don't know about that, Jesus. But though Jesus likes wants to give me a hug and forgive me, come on, give me some more of that Jesus. But he says it's all or none. Faith without works is dead. I'm going to pick on men because I am one. There is lots of men in this world that want to be a good man. But there's fewer men in this world that will do the things it takes to be a good man. There's lots of brothers. I'm a good dude. I'm a good guy. I'm a good man. There's lots of people that bring children into this world that want us to call them father. There is lots of people in this world that when they are in the nursery and this baby's been delivered and there's nurses and doctors and they're going around, they're all excited. They're puffing up their chest. They're calling their boys. They're taking their Snapchats. They're taking their pictures. But guess what? It's about the first time that baby's sick, they're gone. The first time they need to get into school or in a day, like they're gone. Because faith without works ain't faith. There's lots of men in this world that want to have a good wife, want to be a good husband, want to do the right thing. They'll say all the right things. But the reality is when you live your life just trying to please yourself, it ain't going to work. Ladies, I could have the same conversation about you now. I'm just afraid of you. That came out of my mouth. I said that out loud. I really did. I said it out loud. I'm a truth teller. It's just what it is. But this is why I'm telling you. Hey, family. All of you. He wants all of you. In that manner, you shall eat with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet. It says in another translation, you should gird up your loins is what it says. Why would he want them to put their belt on? Why would he want them to gird up their loins? Why? It's time to go. You got to go. You know, isn't it funny that Jesus tells us to look to the sky? I remember I was in high school and I was about to do something really, really dumb. And I actually asked my dad if I could do it. I was like, well, there's no way he'll let me go to this place, go to this club. I'll just be honest, go to this club. There's no way I'm 18. There's no way he'll let me go. So I thought, I'll just ask him. He tells me no. And I'll just tell my buddies I can't because my dad found out. I was trying to use him as an excuse. Because it's like, yeah, I'm just being honest. Today's the day of honesty. I'm afraid of women and this. Here we go. The second thing is, so I go to my dad. And I was like, hey, Dad, my buddies are going to this place. I go, I kind of want to go. And he's like, okay. I was like, what? Like, for real? He's like, hey, you're 18 years old. You're a grown man. You can make a grown man decision. If you want to go, go. I was like, all right. That next morning, I woke up early because I had to get ready for a lift. And on the mirror, my dad had written on a sticky note a Bible verse. And the Bible verse is, you don't know the day, the time, or the hour. And I thought, yeah, they ain't catching me at Big Al's. I promise you that. What if we made decisions based on, we never know the day, the time, or the hour? Would we go different places? Would we look at different things? Get your belts on, y'all. It's go time. For I will pass through the land of Egypt. That night I will strike on the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment because I am the Lord. He is going to show the world that these false deities lead you to destruction. He's going to show the world there's only one true God. He wants to redeem not only the Jewish people, he wants to redeem the whole world. And he recognizes the only way they're going to see him for who he is if he executes this judgment. See, here's the deal. In this moment, their idols have become their identity. In this passage, I think it's interesting too. It says, the blood shall be a sign for you in the house where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, and no plague will befall on you and destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Anyone could have put the blood over the doorstep, and it would have passed by. But the idols in this moment is, the question is, what are our idols? What need to be laid at his feet? It's like one beautiful thing about if someone experiencing an injury if they play sports, or one beautiful thing if something in their world is taken from them that they used to be there, is it makes them take a step back for a moment and recognize, I am more than this. And it is hard to have something taken from you that you love. But in the end, you can do the thing you love better when you recognize your identity as not being, like, you're not a slave. Stop acting like a slave. Your identity is not found in successes or failures. Your identity is not found in whether you're good or bad. Your identity is not found in what someone says about you. Your identity is not found on a social media site. Your identity is not found in how many followers or likes. Your identity is not found in that guy or that girl and what they think about you. Your identity is found in quite simply this, that the creator of the universe calls you his child. That is your name, and he knows it. It goes on and says this. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over, and no plague will befall on you and destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout all generations. Why does he want us to celebrate this? Why does he want us to celebrate it? He wants us to remember and celebrate the things that bring us our identity. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, and on the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats of this leaven the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall hold a holy assembly, and on the seventh day a whole day of assembly. No work shall be done on those days. But whatever one needs to eat and alone may be prepared by you, and you shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread. For on this very day I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout all generations as statutes forever. In the first month from the 14th day until the month of the evening you shall eat unleavened bread. Family, he's telling them about the party before he does it. This is how we're going to celebrate this, because this is about to happen. Until the 21st day of the month of the evening. For 7 days no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, the person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in your dwelling place, and you shall eat unleavened bread. He was pretty focused on the unleavened bread. Did you catch that? A lot of people think it's not only a symbolic thing, it's also a physical thing. Just imagine eating the same yeast for countless years. Probably not the healthiest either. You know what's crazy about God is the way he actually tells us to eat originally is actually better. Like the more we discover about nutrition, the more it's like, oh, maybe God had this figured out. It goes on. Verse 21, when Moses called all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and select lamb for yourselves according to the clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. And touch the lintel on the two doorposts of the blood that are in the basin. None of you shall go out the door of this house until the morning. If you're in the house, if you're covered by the blood, you're good. Don't miss that. If you're covered by the blood, you're what? You're good. For the Lord will pass through and strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter your house and strike you. You shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. Here's the question is, what saves them? What saves them is the blood. Their identity and your identity is found in the what? The blood. Their identity is not found in whether they were really good in Sunday school. I need to ask a question to all of us in the room. Do you find your identity in your behavior when it's good? If your kids ask you the question, well, how do you know if you're a Christian? Are you going to give them a list of things they should do and not do? Or are you going to say, oh, Jesus? Because see, the blood is our identity. Good works is not.
And not just blood, blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the blood that he shed on the cross for you and for me, for our sins. Our identity is in him being a child of God as we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. If you've forgotten your identity, dear one, remember God's promises for you. And celebrate the love he has for you and how he demonstrated it by sending Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Now, there was about 6 more minutes to this message, and you can hear it in its entirety at cuchurch.com. Or if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen to this program anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.